If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Joshua chapter 4 this morning. We're continuing our journey through Joshua, and this morning we will be reading through Joshua 4, okay? Last week we read through Joshua 3 as the Israelites came face to face with this huge obstacle in front of them, right? We remember that obstacle was the Jordan River at flood stage. But as they faithfully did what God told them to do, as they faithfully followed God, he did an amazing miracle. He stopped the flow of this massive river, and they were able to walk across on dry land. And it was just an amazing miracle. Well, as we pick up here in chapter 4, all the Israelites now, so we're kind of in the mid-crossing here, but all the Israelites have crossed over the Jordan on dry ground. But before the priests, because the priests were standing out there, as long as the priests were there, the water was held back. But before the priests cross, the Lord has one last thing for them to do, and that's what we're going to read here in Joshua chapter 4. And so if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me as we read here from Joshua chapter 4. It says this. It says, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among them to take up 12... from among the people, excuse me, I skipped a line, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed in front of the Israelites as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran again at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Wow, all the way through there. As we look at these verses this morning, we read that the Israelites built an altar, right, out of stones. that they had taken from the middle of the river that they just crossed. And that's the main section. There's other things that we can pull out of this. But the main point I want to look at this morning is focusing on the fact that they took these stones and they built this altar. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, what was the purpose? What was the purpose of taking these stones and the purpose of building this altar? Well, as I studied these scriptures, there were three reasons, I think, that stood out to me why God asked them to do this, why God told them to do this. Now, before I give those reasons, I want to share with you a story about a man named George. George was known for his horrible, horrible memory. And one day, George ran into his friend Bill in the grocery store that he hadn't seen in a long, long time. And he asked Bill, he said, "Hey, Bill, do you remember how horrible my memory used to be?" And Bill, of course, replied saying, oh yeah, how can I forget? Well, George then went on to explain to his friend Bill that he had gone to a memory seminar, okay? He'd gone to a memory seminar, and now he had this wonderful memory. Bill responded by saying, well, that's great. What's the name of the seminar? Well, George said, wait a minute, my wife went with me. Let me ask her." And so he turned towards his wife, who was just a little bit farther down the aisle. And before he said anything to his wife, he turned back to Bill real quick, and he said, hey Bill, what's the name of that flower with the thorns on it? And it's often like red in color. And Bill's like, "You mean a rose?" He said, "Yeah, thanks. Hey, Rose, what was the name of that seminar that we went to?" Apparently didn't work very well, did it? Kind of a silly story, but it points out the reality of how forgetful we are. We are forgetful. Whether it's remembering names, right? This morning, meeting new people, I'm going to try to remember your names, right? Whether it's remembering names, whether it's appointments, whether it's what you had for breakfast this morning, right? And some of you are going, "What did I have for breakfast this morning? What did I have for breakfast this morning?" Whatever. It's very easy for us to forget things, right? Am I the only one in here that forgets things, right? It's easy for us to forget things. And guess what? The Lord knows that about us. The Lord knows how forgetful we are. As we go through challenges and struggles in life, it's easy for us to forget what God has done for us before, right? We forget the victories that we've had in the past. We forget the blessings that He's poured out upon our lives. We forget the miracles that we've seen Him do in and through our lives. Now, the thing is, this isn't anything new for the Lord. He knows that we're forgetful. He knows that we are people who forget. It's been happening for years and years, probably from the beginning of the fall, right? That we began to be forgetful people. Well, Deuteronomy 12:6, God said to the Israelites, He said, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord." And then He goes on, "Who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." He's telling them, don't forget, remember what I did for you. But guess what? They forgot, right? They forgot what God had done. And this is one of the reasons that I believe God told them to build this altar here in Joshua chapter 4. The first reason is because it was a reminder of what God did for them. In verse 6 it says, "It is to serve as a sign among you." And then also even this morning I realized in verse, at the end of verse 7, it says the stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel. It was to serve as a reminder. It was to be a memorial. It was a tangible, visible thing that when they saw it, that when they passed by it, they would remember God's victory in that place. They would remember this amazing miracle and the blessings that God had poured upon their lives. God knows how easily we forget, and He wanted the Israelites to remember His hand on their lives. How often do we forget the victories? How often do we forget the blessings? How often do we forget the miracles? When we come up against obstacles or challenges in our life, it's easy for us to forget that God's brought us through these things before, right? And I think this morning God would speak to us the same thing that He spoke to the Israelites back in Deuteronomy 12:6. Be careful that you don't forget. Don't forget the Lord. Don't forget what He's done for you. You see, God had them build this altar so that every time they looked at it, every time they passed by it, they would be reminded of what He did for them. And so I ask you the question this morning, what are the altars in your life? What are the memories that you have hidden in your heart? What are the victories? What are the blessings or the miracles that you've seen God do in and through you? Because here's why it's important that you know, that you remember these things, because it's these things that will encourage us. It's these things that will help us through the difficulties and challenges that we go through in life. As we remember what God did for us in the past, as we remember that He's brought us through this before, right? He can do it again. Hebrews 13:8. It's our four square denominational scripture. As you come up the steps there, you will see it right there on the wall. Hebrews 13:8. It says this. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means if He brought you through things back then, He's just as capable to bring you through them again today. Our God is not a one-hit wonder. Okay? Some of you musical people, you listen to music, right? You hear that great song and that band, they hit the top of the charts, and then you never hear from them again. Hey, do you remember that group, you know? They had that one song, right? The one-hit wonders. God is not a one-hit wonder. He was faithful back then, and He will be faithful today, and He will be faithful tomorrow, and the next day, and for generations to come. This story of the Israelite crossing this large body of water on dry land is a perfect example of that. Because, you know, He did it 40 years earlier, right? With the Red Sea. He did it with Moses as He parted the Red Sea 40 years earlier. And now He did it with Joshua and He parted the Jordan River. And it was even greater. I talked about that last week. That, you know, the Red Sea, it was calmer. This was the Jordan River rushing at flood stage. Moses just lifted his staff. Well, they had to actually get out in the water a little bit, right? And it was even a greater miracle. He did it for us before. He can do it again. And that's why it's so important that we remember. Now, we may not have physical altars. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe some of you in your house have some altars on the wall, something, a scripture, something that reminds you of how the Lord came through. Some of you may not have physical altars that you put up, but I would encourage you, this is what I tell people all the time. I used to tell my youth group this all the time. When God does something amazing in your life, write it down. Get a journal of the blessings, of the victories, of the miracles that God does in your life. Get a journal and write those things down. And when you're going through difficult times, when you're going through challenges, pull out that journal. Let it be a reminder. Let it be an altar that reminds you of what God has brought you through in the past. Because sometimes you forget. I look back and I'll go, oh, wow, man, I forgot what I went through back then and how God brought me through it. If He brought me through that, He can bring me through this. They serve as a reminder of what God's done before us. My wife and I, we have many reminders in our life, many stories and things that we hold on to. And I could give you story after story, but I just want to share one with you this morning. When we left Eugene to head to Newburgh, it was an interesting move for us. I wanted to be in full-time ministry. That was something I wanted. I was working. My wife and I both worked in Eugene. We had no kids. I worked for my dad part-time, and I worked for the church part-time, but they didn't have enough to bring me on full-time, and I really wanted to be in full-time ministry. My wife worked full-time at Harvest House Publishers in Eugene, and so we were dinks, dual income, no kids, okay? We were just working. Life was good. We were just moving along, but we really wanted into ministry, and a door opened up for us to come up to Newburgh. And so we kind of had some dialogue, and we knew that that's where God was calling us to go. We really felt it strongly that that's where he was calling us. So we had conversations with the pastor up there, who was actually my brother-in-law. And so he talked to his council and figured some things out. And so he said, called me up on the phone and said, all right, I've talked to the council, and let's meet. You know, they were in Newburgh, I was in Eugene. He said, how about we meet in Salem? I'll share with you what the council said that we can pay you, and you can laugh in my face if you need to and walk away, right? So on my way up there, I'm driving, and I'm saying, okay, Lord. Oh, and by the way, in the midst of this, we just found out my wife's pregnant, okay? And so she wants to be a stay-at-home mom, right? She didn't want to work after we have kids. So now I'm thinking, okay, we're leaving dual income, heading up to Newburgh. Lord, what's too little that he offers me? Is there a point where if he says a certain amount that I just have to say, I can't live off that. I've got a baby on the way. My wife's not going to be working. Is there an amount? And I heard the Lord clearly say, Darren, I'm your provider. So I was like, okay, so you're saying it doesn't matter what they offer me, I just have to go? And he said, Darren, I'm your provider. And so I knew the Lord said, he was calling us to Newburgh. So I go up there, and my brother-in-law tells me, and my eyes kind of get big, and I try not to show that too much, and I'm thinking, well, I don't know how I'm going to live off that, but God's called us, and he said he's our provider. And so we decided to make the move. We did everything that we needed to do, and put our house on the market. It wasn't selling. We needed to get up into Newburgh. They were ready for us to start up there in Newburgh, and so we made the move in faith. God's going to sell our house right away. 6 months later, our house finally sells. But so we go 5 months, because we had a month of not living up there, and then once we made the move, there was 5 months of dual house payments, okay? And our car wasn't quite paid off, and we knew when we sold our house, we'd have enough to pay off our car, and that would help us up there. But right now, we've got two house payments and a car payment. One income now instead of two incomes. And we're like, okay, God, you said you're our provider. And we faithfully continued to give to the Lord as he told us to, and we were faithful in that. And we get checks in the mail, anonymous checks, that were enough to pay our payments down in for our house and for our car. And then the church, you know, said, hey, here's where Darren and Stacy, we feel like we called them up here. They're struggling with selling their house. They took a special offering, an amazing, and this was after the regular offering. It was a second offering, and I was just blown away how much came in to help us do that. But God provided for us, and we were able to survive that time, and God brought us through. Well, fast forward now, 7 years later, and the Lord says, Darren, I'm calling you away to pastor a church. Now, I just was ready to step into a pastorate somewhere where I just stepped into a salary, just transfer this salary to this salary, and all of a sudden in the midst of that, what are we doing? We're planting a church. No idea what kind of income, no idea what we're going to do, and we're just like, okay, Lord, what do we do? But he just said, remember what I said before? I'm your provider. And so we remembered back to what God did for us when we went to Newburgh, and we stepped out in faith knowing that God is a God who provides when he says to go. And so we allowed that memory, that altar, to be our strength as we stepped forward. And even in those times where it was tight, and even in those times where we were struggling, we just kept remembering that God is our provider. He is our provider. We need to remember those times in our life when God shows up. We need to remember his faithfulness and know that he is always faithful. And if he brought you through it back then, he can bring you through it now. This altar of stones was to serve as a reminder of what God did for them before and to help them continue to trust in the Lord and his hand upon their lives. Secondly, it was to serve as a basis for passing down their faith to their children. It says in verse 6, it says, in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? And then again, he says it again, so he reiterates it in verse 21. In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? And he basically says, you are to tell them what the Lord has done. You are to share it with them. You are to pass on the goodness of the Lord to your children. We need to let them see the goodness of God in our lives. I've heard it said, Christianity is one generation away from extinction. Think about that. Now, I think both you and I know God isn't going to let Christianity become extinct. But the truth is, Christianity is just one generation away from becoming extinct in our own families. That's true. If we aren't passing down the things of the Lord to our kids, then who will? We need to be sharing our stories with our kids. They need to hear the amazing things that God's done in our life. My kids love to hear the stories, the miracles. You know, I share the story when I was 6 years old of how my dad came home with a broken leg, snapped his leg at basketball, came home with a cast, and I said, Daddy, you don't need that cast. Jesus can heal you. We prayed over his leg, and the next day he went and just had the cast cut off. The doctor thought he was wacko, and he walked out of there, his leg completely healed. My kids love hearing those stories, and they're like, whoa, really? Because they hear of the goodness and the amazing things that God can do in their life, and they're never too young to be hearing it. From the earliest of ages, we should share the goodness of God with our kids. You know, we talked about how Jesus lives in our heart and how we've chosen to give our life to the Lord with our kids, and both of our kids now have asked Jesus into their life. And neither of them were prompted by us. That's what I love about the story of our kids' conversions. It wasn't like, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? You know, we didn't lead them. We shared of our goodness, we shared of our love, but they both did it on their own. It's amazing stories, both of them. My son Toby was 4 years old. 4 years old, my wife went to pick him up one morning and was bringing him from downstairs. He had just woken up. He was calling for mom, and she went up, 4 years old, was just carrying him down the stairs, and he said, Mama, you know what I did in my bed last night? I'm like, I'm glad I wasn't carrying him down. I'm like, you did what in your bed last night? Come on. I don't want to have to clean that up again. But she said, no, what did you do? And he said, I asked Jesus in my heart because I believe in him. Little four-year-old, in his bed at night by himself, asked Jesus into his life. No prompting of his parents asking him to do it. He did it on his own. Emma, 2 years old. I didn't believe it. We didn't believe it. 2 years old. She tells us, yeah, I asked Jesus into my heart. I said, oh, you did? Oh, that's cute. But to this day, she will tell you exactly. She asked Jesus in her heart at age 2. And she knew what it meant. We would begin to ask her questions. Well, what does that mean? And here's a girl that a little earlier at 1 or 2, she was afraid of Jesus coming into her heart because she had this picture of Jesus taking a knife and cutting her open, pulling it back and jumping in. And so we explained to her, no, that's not what it is. It's his spirit. He comes in you. And you know, we had these conversations. And this was a 2-year-old. And she gives her life to Jesus. All my wife and I did was just share the love of God with our kids. They're never too young, and they're never too old in that respect as well. It's our responsibility to pass our faith on to our generations that follow. And this altar of stones was to serve as a reminder of what God did for them, and it was to serve as a basis for passing their faith to their children. And then thirdly, it was to be a sign to the world. In verse 24 it says, he did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. God didn't just want the Israelites to remember who he was. Didn't just want the Israelites to remember his goodness. He wanted all the people to know who he was. He wanted everyone to know of his goodness. And the same is true for us today. God doesn't just want us to know his goodness. He wants everyone, right? It says, I've come that none should perish. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You can flip there if you want. You don't have to. I'll read it to you. It says this. It says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, no, they lift it up, right? They put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, our life scripture, in the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that it may glorify your Father in heaven. This altar of stones was to serve as a sign to others of God's goodness. And today, I believe sometimes we're the altars. We're the altars. We are to be that sign, that light that shines bright and that displays the goodness of God to others. And some things I read as I was studying these verses, it referred to it as an altar of testimony. A testimonial of what God had done. And in the same way, our lives are to serve as a testimony to others, as a light to others. As we remember the good things that God's done in our lives, as we continue to faithfully pass on to our children and to those around us, whether it be our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, I believe God will draw these people to his goodness and that ultimately his kingdom will be extended. And that's what it's about. Amen? God's desire is that we remember and that we pass these things on to our kids, but not just to our kids, but to all that are around us. To be that altar ourselves of the goodness of God that shines in and through our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for this word. I thank you for just the fact that, Lord, you have done so many amazing things. It's so easy for us to forget, Lord, even as we've read through the scriptures, many of us, and maybe some of us haven't, but as we've maybe heard the stories, it's so easy for us to forget the stories, to forget how you came through back in this situation or that situation. It's so easy for us to forget that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes we think, well, that was God back there. He doesn't do miracles like that today. And that's simply not true, Lord. You are a God of miracles. Lord, you are a God that works the same miracles that you did back then. You are still working them today, Lord. Help us to remember the goodness of who you are. Help us to grab hold of those moments in our life when you have touched us, when you've healed us, when you've poured out your blessing upon us. Help us to grab hold of those. And whether it's putting physical altars in our house, putting scripture verses, whether it's writing stuff on a journal, Lord, whatever we need to do to remember, Lord, what you have done in our lives. And as we remember, let us let that light shine bright for you. Let others may see your good works and be glorified, that you may be glorified in heaven, Lord. Teach us, show us, Lord, how to be the things that you've called us to be, how to walk in faith and trust in you. You brought us through before. You'll bring us through again, Lord Jesus. Help us to remember that and continue to press in and to press through anything, Lord, that we come up against. We thank you. We praise you for this word. May you allow it to penetrate our hearts, each of us where we're at, Lord. We're all at different places in this journey, and maybe each of the different points, maybe there's some that you're calling to really remember today. Maybe there's some that you're calling to step up and really teach their kids the truth of who you are. And some you're just teaching us, Lord, how do we now, as we remember, how do we let our light shine in a way that doesn't repel people away from the gospel? It draws people to the good news, Lord, of who you are and your grace in our life. Lord, we thank you for this word. We give it to you. Let it penetrate our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.